the rest of the story. Gabriel Pascal called himself a great Hungarian motion picture producer. Well, in fact, Gabriel was Romanian. He was not Hungarian, and his greatness is still in question. But Gabriel did have something which he considered very important. He had the production rights to a play. And this play, he was determined, must appear in a musical setting on Broadway. Well, the undertaking would require the participation of experts. So Gabriel appealed to the highest musical theatrical court anywhere, the distinguished duo of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Gabriel's proposal was greeted with skepticism. In the first place, this play was a drawing room comedy. How might the walls of the drawing room be torn down, allowing the play to unfold in an atmosphere that suggested music? That was one problem. Worse, however, was the fact that this play was devoid of romance. If anything, it was a non-love story. How, asked Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein, how does one write a non-love song? But producer Gabriel Pascal was insistent. Surely they, the foremost words and music team of that era, were equal to the challenge. Well, it was a challenge. Rodgers and Hammerstein did accept. They labored for more than a year, discussing and reconsidering material and writing and rewriting and re-rewriting until the wastebaskets were full, but nothing remained. And at last, a frustrated Oscar Hammerstein called Gabriel and said it cannot be done. Just too many inherent difficulties. The project was impossible. Well, Gabriel was disappointed, yet still confident of his original idea. He decided to take it elsewhere, specifically to the talented Broadway team of Lerner and Lowe. Well, as Richard and Oscar before them, Alan and Fritz were reticent, and yet the prospect of succeeding where the great Rodgers and Hammerstein had failed was just too tempting. Al Lerner and Fritz Lowe said they would give it a go. As usual, in beginning a new musical, they met regularly. They talked incessantly. The more they talked, the less promising the project seemed. For indeed, the characters in that impossible play talked incessantly as well, and there was simply no room for music. And as Rodgers and Hammerstein had discovered, the absence of a romantic theme was an even more serious obstacle. So months passed, and finally Lerner and Lowe threw up their hands. Over the next 2 years, producer Gabriel Pascal approached virtually every composer and lyricist on Broadway, and a few elsewhere, desperately attempting to inspire them with his dream. Yip Harburg, who had scored The Wizard of Oz more than a decade before, said no. Noel Coward said no. Cole Porter said no. All of them agreed. No music in the world could go with that play. I said all of them agreed. No music in the world could go with that play. So finally, in the summer of 1954, Gabriel Pascal gave up the ghost and became one, so he never lived to learn the rest of the story. Producer Gabriel Pascal was dead, but his dream was not. You see, Lerner and Lowe, more than 2 years after having admitted defeat, gave it one more try, and eventually they did discover a way to make a musical of that play. Lerner and Lowe did the undoable. They finished the project Rodgers and Hammerstein had abandoned as impossible, that had in fact been rejected by the most respected talent in the business. And on March 15 of 1956, the transformation of George Bernard Shaw's drawing room comedy was complete. The play that couldn't be taught to sing was singing. The flower girl was dressed for the ball, and My Fair Lady was born. Now you know the rest of the story.